The serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal God had made. He spoke to the woman. "Do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "Not at all. We can eat from the trees in the garden. It's only about the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, 'Don't eat from it, don't even touch it, or you'll die.'" The serpent told the woman, "You won't die. God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil." When the woman saw the tree that looked like good eating and realized what she would get out of it, she'd know everything, she took and ate the fruit, and then gave some to her husband, and he ate. Immediately, the two of them did see what's really going on, saw themselves naked. They sewed fig leaves together as makeshift clothes for themselves. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden, hid from God. God called to the man, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from that tree? I told you not to eat from." The man said, "The woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me fruit from the tree. And yes, I ate it." God said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" "The serpent seduced me," she said, "and I ate."
I'm going to try something a little bit different this morning. So please be gentle with me. Now, there's my pick. I started guitar a little while ago, and I found that I really enjoyed it. I also started ukulele a little while ago, and I also really enjoy that. Someone was telling me that one of the former ministers, I'm not sure where, used to use music when he did his service. I don't know that I'm going to call what I'm doing this morning music, but I'll let you be the judge of that. And apparently I'm backwards, pardon me. That's better. No, you're not allowed to fall off. You're not allowed. Today's sermon is brought to you by my thoughts about an article I'd seen, written by Christine Gladue in an issue of Gathering Worship magazine. It's because of the content of that article that I began to see a different perspective, more positive, if you will, of my reading of Genesis 3. Some years ago, when I was still little and life started teaching me new things every day, I recall hearing about the Garden of Eden and God creating people from clay. It didn't really occur to me at that tender age to question the Word of God. I was doing my best to understand everything, and besides, people would have found me odd. But as the years went by, I gained education, and my curiosity was inspired. But there was still so much to learn, more knowledge to be acquired. It became a practice of mine to question what I saw, read, and heard. To be honest, it's become a bit annoying. It doesn't really make things very clear. And yet, I've come to use it when situations appear a little muddy. And nowhere was this to be more apparent than at Julia's Bible study. It was during the initial and my first Bible study last spring, where we discussed the many theories of creation and our understanding. Again, I heard that God created the earth, the waters, and the big blue sky. Then God created two beings, woman and man, out of clay nearby. And there they were, two newborn beings with so much to see, plenty of plants, animals, and birds, and oh, look, an apple tree. God named them Adam and Eve, and they lived in Eden, a paradise. And they had God as a neighbor. Wouldn't that be nice? After a while, Adam and Eve got curious and began to look around. Then suddenly, Eve turned to Adam, holding an apple she'd found. "Proof, gentlemen, that from the beginning, we were trying to get you to eat right." It's about then that the whole theme on which this sermon starts. It's not really about creation, y'all. You already know that part. This sermon's about something equally important, something worth questioning. In my humble opinion, knowledge gets stale and could use a little freshening. In giving Adam that apple and asking him to take a bite, well, Eve didn't really know it then, but her action wasn't a simple invite. And that serpent, really? It had time to plan and prepare. You're going to tempt a woman in the Garden of Eden? At least have a margarita or chocolate eclair. Alas, in time, that actions of Eve's would come to be maligned. Taking an apple from the tree of knowledge became trouble for womankind. The way that women have been portrayed is really quite distressing. We've been labeled harlots, temptresses, and worse, all because of the way we're dressing. So here is where my story starts, at a crucial time in history, with the musings of one man and a smidgen of sophistry. You see, that man was named Augustine of Hippo, and in confessing his sins of youth, he sought to explain what happened in Eden, but he kind of bent the truth. Augustine believed that the free will that God created in the human race was the source of moral evil and the cause of Adam and Eve's fall from grace. And though in the 4th century, Augustine would call it the original sin, that phrase is not in the Bible, religious texts, or anything akin. And so my community of faith perhaps will end that retrogressing from the message of original sin to one of original blessing. Do you ever wonder why children chose an apple as a teacher's present? It's known as the fruit of knowledge, a gift that's sadly obsolescent. As a child, we depend on what's around us, our family, nature, and other creatures, to educate us about this world we live in. The universe becomes our teacher. Then we come to adulthood, lose our naivete, and deal with life's infractions. We face those annoying adult realities and take responsibilities for our actions. Hopefully. Some theologians say Adam and Eve's choice came from their own acumen. They decided to eat and gain knowledge, making them fully human. As adults, we look back at the Garden of Eden and those two beings made of clay, and we understand they were created in divine image. God made them that way. And Eve's idea to take and eat fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, well, that was most likely curiosity on her part. Well-meaning, but not illegal. That makes sense from my humble perspective, that Adam and Eve would relate to a source that gave them a sense of being, consciousness about their human state. We might, as scholar Melinda Quivick says, know knowledge isn't only from our Lord, but from everything that God created. Snakes, trees, apples, and things explored. And perhaps also entertain the thought that the knowledge that Adam and Eve had gained gave them better understanding of life around them, nature, and their domain. They learned appreciation of their role as stewards of the place God created, and how they were connected to that earth and its beings, how they're related. The many First Nations of our own country and their prayers and devotions acknowledge their connection to earth, to God, and life in the oceans. Knowing this, it doesn't seem fair that Augustine's point was suppressing the fact that what really occurred in Eden was actually an original blessing. So I wrote this poem for today's service in the hopes that you would see how our loving God created us with many gifts, talents, and abilities. We can ask questions, probe, discuss the Bible, try to understand the imagery. I think God wanted us to get curious, wonder why, think differently. After all, it's how we come together and our differences to really understand how each of us is responsible for ourselves, for each other, for the land. Even though there are many diverse paths to God, many different religions, God's love of all of us stands strong and unwavering in its promise and precision. As someone training to be a worship leader for myself, it's of great significance. Not only what we believe and practice, but how we support our stance. As the Apostle Peter said, no matter the circumstances, always be ready to provide an explanation when others question your hope that's sure and steady. So as we prepare to sit in silence and sing and bow our heads to pray, I'll leave you with some thoughtful questions about what I've said today. And following the teachings of Christ and how we see females of all colors, did Augustine's idea of original sin change how we treat one another? How about instead we praise God who gifted us everything at birth? What if we ask for forgiveness as humble children of God's earth? As I finish today, as you go out into the world, as you make to leave, remember to God, it doesn't really matter if you're an Adam or an Eve. God loves you just the same. And God has no issue in professing that you as God's children have received the original blessing. Let's take a few moments for silent reflection.